News Radio 690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
That would be me, so I'll talk to you about how we start El Paso History Show Hour 2 with a El Paso History Moment. Produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance, and our History Moment today is a story about Judge Roy Bean. He was the law west of the Pecos.
Judge makes a killing on the prize fight meant for El Paso. The fight that helped make Judge Roy Bean a Justice of the Peace famous was held on February 22, 1896 in Langtree, Texas, and it all came about because of Bean's creative showmanship and his friendship with lawman and fight aficionado Bat Masterson. Prize fighting was frowned upon by governmental authorities, and Texas, like many states, passed laws forbidding sporting events. El Paso originally planned to host the great fight between Australian Bob Fitzsimmons and Irish champion Peter Mayer. However, since prize fighting was now illegal in Texas, plans were to move the fight across the river to Juarez. But that was not possible, so now why not move next door to the territory of New Mexico? Unfortunately, the anti-prize fighting sentiment was so strong that the U.S. Congress quickly passed a bill outlawing prize fighting in any U.S. territory. Judge Roy Bean saw his golden opportunity and quickly made arrangements for the great fight to be held in Langtree and sold tickets to the fight for $12 and train tickets on the eastbound train out of El Paso for $20. Anxious fight patrons crowded onto the train in El Paso and headed to Langtree. Once they disembarked from the train, they were ushered into Bean's saloon, the Jersey Lily, for a few rather pricey drinks. Then, at the appointed hour, they promptly walked to a makeshift ring on Mexican soil in the town of Coahuila, where spectators viewed the fight from a hillside overlooking the Rio Grande. Texas lawmen were sent to put a stop to the fight, but they had no authority in Mexico. Well, that great fight lasted only 95 seconds, with Fitzsimmons delivering Mayer a knockdown jaw punch. Mayer was counted out by referee Bat Masterson, and the fight was over. Patrons went back to Bean's Saloon for more pricey drinks, then boarded the westbound train headed back to El Paso. The fight was much of nothing, but it adds to the legend and folklore of the famous Judge Roy Bean. This was an El Paso History Moment. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
You are. You're being alliance all over the place.
Being aligned, yes.
So be it. Well, that's an interesting thing. Yeah, that's on Facebook. You got some followers there?
Yes, kind of, sort of. We got along with those, and it's. I would have to say about that Langtree, it was really interesting when you think about the fact it was supposed to be here, and all the government was actually chasing prize fighting around the country wherever they were trying to do it.
They would get rid of it.
Yeah, immediately they would have. You never seen government pass laws so fast, because you know, they had it where they're going to have it here, and when they decided they're going to move it to New Mexico, they got a hold of the government. They changed the laws. It was like, oh my God.
This was done for the History Alliance, and that's an interesting crowd here. But you've also got administrators like Barbara Given Bainey and Mark Stone.
Oh, yeah.
They are the people who are us behind all this.
Yeah, and remember, El Paso wins a great Facebook page. I mean, those people are really working their hard little hearts out there, keeping the history out there. People post pictures. They post pictures, which
ask
we hope
questions.
You will share with everyone else. If you share a picture, make sure you give them credit. So they'll also learn and go up to their Facebook page also.
We still have Ron Lyman here,
yes,
along
we
with
do.
Barbara Welch. And we've now adding a guy named T-Roy. T-Roy, how are you, sir? Troy Ainsworth.
Good day, everyone. Good to hear your voices. How is everybody?
Hola to you, sir.
We're doing good. Now, you're a preservation kind of guy, and that's why we ask you to call us up. You're somewhere over lost in Texas, right?
I am over in Canyon, Texas,
that
right now.
That sounds lost to me.
We just concluded the West Texas Historical Association Conference, which was quite good. And, you know, there's something supernatural going on here. There's this stuff that's falling out of the clouds and landing on the ground over here, and I don't quite know what it's called.
But is it white?
It's collecting. Yeah, it's kind of clear, and it's making spots all over the vehicles outside, so well, there you have it.
You people from New Mexico don't normally understand that stuff.
No, this is straight out of the works of mythology. So
you've been wandering around Central Texas doing historical things, but now you've actually gravitated from Las Lunas down the river a little bit to Las Cruces.
He's a neighbor now.
I hear you're a local guy, almost.
I am inching increasingly closer to the Anthony Gap. I'm that much closer, y'all.
But you are to start a new employment on Monday. Tell us about that.
I am on Monday morning after I drive back into New Mexico here in a little bit. I report on Monday morning to the city of Las Cruces for first day of a new era there in Las Cruces. They've never had a historic preservation program. They've just created a position, a historic preservation specialist, with an almost near identical job description of an HPO position anywhere in the country. I interviewed 2 times. Officially yesterday, they offered me the job.
Yay!
I report on Monday.
Yay! Awesome, Troy.
Thank you.
Great. Way to go. Gainfully employed, I'm sure Christine's
and you've got
very
Ron,
happy.
Ron Lyman here and Barbara Welch here as well. Well, good for you.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you. It's I listened to the first hour, so off to the races and a good start. So let's keep on.
Well, tell us on a national basis what preservation things that can you explain to us?
Okay. First of all, it was quite interesting the synopsis that y'all placed on your Facebook page, and I appreciate you doing that, making reference to Preservation Month beginning in 1973. So, for a quick count, we're 46 years into this process. Preservation Month is initially kind of began to promote historic buildings, and to Barbara's point, and to both Barbara and Ron's point in the first hour, you know, historic buildings are very important, but as preservation has adapted with the times and evolved, you hear more frequently a term such as historic places rather than historic buildings specifically. So this is not to minimize the necessity for wonderful buildings that define a place. I mean, think of the Plaza Theater or the Hilton Hotel there in downtown El Paso, or the Armador Hotel, the old courthouse for Doña Ana County there in Mesilla, buildings that are character defining for a spirit of place. And over the time that Preservation Month has been occurring, you know, you're seeing a prioritization to instill a sense of pride, community pride, in local, regional, and even national places, and particularly showing that they have social and economic benefits to the community. And I think that that's crucial. Because, as we all know, the ongoing fight for years and years has been about economic development and historic preservation.
Well, let me ask you about that, Troy. When that was going on in 2012, they knocked down the Muir building. You were aware of all these things. I don't think you were part of that in El Paso at the time, were you?
No, we were, unfortunately. We were up north, but... But
let me ask you this. Was it just was it the fact that maybe the building owners did not understand what treasures they owned?
I would think that that is a big part of it, at least a factor in it. And there's a I'd like to make for the benefit of the listeners, if you go over to the webpage for the National Trust for Historic Preservation, you'll find interesting articles and all sorts of tools and strategies for preservation. Excuse me. All right, they have an article up there called 6 Reasons to Save Old Buildings. And one of them, well, all 6 of them are quite good. And they concluded by saying, regret goes only one way.
Yep.
And it's a good way to define it, because the second point that they make is when you tear down a historic building, you do not know what you may have just destroyed. Okay? Yep. And that's to your point a moment ago about the Muir building.
Well, just think of it now. What if the Muir building were still standing today and somebody came along and said, you know what, I want to buy that and put the extra 10 stories on that building was designed for? Because Trost designed that to be a much taller building, but he just left it off because of cost. It was
That's
built
right.
to go higher. Ah, you know?
That's right. And there are only three kind of buildings. I mean, if you really want to distill it down, there are only three. Those that are built, those that haven't been built, they exist only on paper, and those that cannot be built.
Yeah.
They're too tall. Think of this. Think of the Mile High Tower that Frank Lloyd Wright envisioned for Chicago. That's a cannot-be-built building.
Hey, Troy, have you been over to Tucson lately?
I've not been to Tucson in the last couple of years.
Well, guess who was just there?
Yeah, Bernie and I were just there with the Trost Tour, and I want to tell you.
I saw the pictures.
Yeah, I've got more pictures to put up. I mean, that place is amazing. What Tucson has done in a very short period of time, how they've done a mixture of the new and the old is amazing. And
I agree.
It's a warm, sunny town to go to. It just has such a warm feeling, where El Paso kind of is making themselves kind of a cold, you know, that urban want. And confused.
How many Trost buildings are left in Tucson?
Oh, God, I can't even remember off
the top. 10,
12? Not near as many.
We've got like 20-something.
Yeah, we've got a lot more. Plus, they're scattered out in different areas, because we went to Benson and Douglas and some different areas. But precisely in downtown Tucson, I can't remember if Margaret's listening, Margaret Smith, who was our tour guide over there, call us or text me, one of the two, with how many are existing now left in Tucson, but not very many.
Well, also there's some left in Las Cruces.
Yeah.
Troy, there's a new old Trost building coming back alive in an old country club up there.
That is correct. The they're at Main Street and Solano. There are a number of acres there. It used to be the Las Cruces Country Club. So, you know, whatever it is, 16, 18 or more acres, a nice little country club. Well, it went into disuse and was closed. The country club building, and I've only been inside it one time, and that was 6-7 years ago. It had been treated poorly over time, but it is a Trost and Trost Architects, El Paso, Texas, designed building.
The guys who were doing that, I know them both, and two of them anyway, and they were not aware it was a Trost building when they bought it. They looked at it and said, oh my goodness. Now when they figured it out, it was a big deal. So
that's right, because there were some folks with the Mesilla Valley Preservation, a local preservation group there in Cruces, Mesilla, who did a little research and verified, yes, Trost and Trost Architects did indeed design the Las Cruces Country Club building. So when you were looking at it from the outside and then walk inside and just had a general feel of it, it felt very much like a Trost. Then you see the drawings, wonderful. They're at the public library in El Paso.
We're talking about Trost and Trost and T-Roy. He's the guy now in Las Cruces. I want to get a reaction from our crowd here in El Paso. We got Ron Lyman still here. Troy, by the way, is on the phone somewhere in Texas, lost and coming back home.
So and
Barbara Welch is here.
Texas Tech.
But what are you guys saying about what he's saying? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think that a lot of cities do their preservation in, you know, a much more thorough manner than El Paso does, sadly.
We have just blown a major thing, almost. Not quite, but almost.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts, Ron?
Well, you know, I'm thinking one of the things that, you know, National Trust does, that they have state programs. Preservation Texas is ours, and they celebrate certain endangered places every year.
Yeah.
And in 2017, it was the East El Paso Fire Station number 5.
Okay.
And I was involved in that because I did a presentation on Dr. Nixon, who was denied the vote in the Democratic primary there.
Oh, that's it.
And you know, we've got a lot of feedback on that. That's a really interesting building, and it deserves protection. The year before, Rio Vista Farm down in Socorro. So they really help us kind of pick out some of these places that are very significant and we need to work on.
Let's work on them. Troy, we got to take a break here. Can you hang on?
I'm yours for the hour.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put you on hold, and if I blow it, call us back, because we got to use the phone lines for what we call trivia, and we're ready for that. So I'm going to put you on hold, all right?
You got it.
All right. And when you get out of hold, tell me how that feels. I've never been on hold. I'm just wondering, what's it like to be on hold? You got a big thumb on your head. Okay, Melissa Sargent,
yes.
It is time.
For
where are these people over
trivia.
Here talking?
I know. They don't realize don't they're know. On the air while they're talking.
We can hear you.
We can hear you.
I can hear you. But no, what's trivia thing? Do that thing.
That's right. Okay, the trivia questions we have for this second hour for $20 in food coupons at Pepe's for the correct answer.
Oh.
Is the first question is National Trust for Historic Preservation has a national program every year called, and we talked about that a lot.
What's the name of the thing we're doing?
Yeah, what are we doing?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
How hard is this?
Yes. And the second one is the El Paso County Historical Commission is involved in protecting and recognizing historic cemeteries, true or false?
Oh, give me
that's
a break.
Hard
come
one.
On. How can you
yeah,
not get
yeah,
this one?
It's a 50-50. Come on, gang.
Oh, come on. See, so, somebody's going to get that wrong?
Yeah, I hope. You never know.
The second guy will get it right.
That's right.
Okay.
So $20 in food coupons for Pepe's if you call 915-544-5876. 915-544-5876. I'm waving back.
And I want you to tell me the questions again because they didn't make sense.
The National Trust for Historic Preservation has a national program called...
What?
That's...
Question one.
What's the question? And the second one is the El Paso County Historical Commission is involved in recognizing and protecting historic cemeteries. True or false?
That's question two.
Question two.
I can handle this. Call us up.
915-544-5876. 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Hey, guys, don't mind me as I interrupt your radio program. It's Sue Cosner, sexual health expert, on men's performance in the bedroom. Do me a favor and don't touch that dial. That's a mistake. If you've been listening to this radio station, you've probably heard a compelling radio ad for Noxetril, the potent, all-natural male enhancement pill. Men constantly reach out and ask me, does this Noxetril really work, or is it just another scam product? I can tell you there's nothing better than Noxetril. I recommend this super pill to men everywhere. It will transform your life in the bedroom once and for all. Strong, powerful results that increase your blood flow fast. No prescription, no side effects. Just imagine Viagra on steroids. So call Noxetril now and take advantage of an incredible free bottle offer shipped discreetly to your door.
Find out how to get a free bottle of Noxetril while supplies last. Call 1-800-993-1560. That's 800-993-1560. Free bottles for a limited time, so call now. 800-993-1560. 800-993-1560.
iHeartRadio presents the podcast premiere event of Committed, Season 2.
But I was so afraid I could lose everything.
Love is hard.
Everything about life that we had thought and planned and hoped for was just in that moment gone.
Love is wonderful and confusing and magical and infuriating.
I was so, so, so lucky to have that.
Join the millions of listeners who've made Committed possible. It's cheaper than therapy.
Hey, Grandma, what's up?
The TV's broken.
It can't be broken. You're watching it.
I can't get my program.
Well, that's because they changed it.
What do you mean?
You see, the channel's coming in differently now on another frequency. All we got to do is rescan your TV with the remote.
You sure? Don't mess it up now.
It's all good, Grandma. If I get stuck, I can go to fcc.gov/TV rescan or call 1-888-CALL-FCC.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartment. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
Okay, nobody's called on that. They must think it's a trick question here. What's the trick question?
Yeah.
And then how easy?
After school, everyone.
Well, $20 is floating out of here. We're going to use it ourselves.
That's
but
right.
Anyway, 544-5876. There is a line open. All right, you've got Stena Lazario History next week on the radio. Al Borrego will be coming in. And it's going to be interesting to hear not only the history of Stena Lazario, but what they've been doing about it. The Adobe Horseshoe is back open. And they have seminars and things going on, and they're connecting to Mexico in a big way on that Camino
Real. Busy little bees down
there. Really, it's cool. April 27, Ron's back, Ron Lyman, talking about Preservation Month additionally. And what else are you going to talk about?
A lot about that is Leta High School marker dedication.
Oh, that's a biggie because that's a Trost building.
That is a Trost building.
Historic. Okay, that's on the 27th. Mm-hmm. May the 4th, we're taking 2 hours here, a new book about the Mexican Revolution, about the Castillo family. And we will have Cindy Medina with us, and she is the lady been pushing a book about Lincoln in Mexico. She's got another one to push now. May 18th, former El Paso Mayor Larry Francis will talk about his tenure as mayor and how the El Paso Electric Company was part of downtown real estate restoration. Larry knows all the details. He's going to tell some stories that I don't think we've heard before. He said, I'm retired. I don't care.
That's awesome.
He knows where all the bodies are buried.
Well, he may have put a few in there.
I was going to say.
He knows where they are. So that's on May the 18th.
I've listened to some of his stories. Sometimes they're great.
What do you got? You got something interesting?
Well, I've got the Archaeology Museum, speaking of where the bodies are buried.
Uh-huh.
The El Paso Archaeological Society has a lecture April 20th, and it's with William Key on the rock art of the Sahara. A new view and a view has discovered the El Paso. Whoa. I'm looking at the way I wrote this. I apologize. It's a view now and a view as discovered. And it's gonna be,
You know what happened? It's changed since they discovered it.
Is that
I went
what
and looked
it
at that. The whole place is not what it was. So they got the pictures from the first time.
Oh, okay. So it threw me
off. It's interesting.
Got me going there.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, go out there April 20th and look at the new discovery.
Look at this stuff.
Okay, April 27th, Old Time Religion, the Salado Phenomenon in the Greater Southwest. Speaker is Alan Dart. He's a registered professional archaeologist. He'll be talking. The earliest Apache in the Southern Southwest, Evidence and Arguments by Denny Seymour. And that's going to be Saturday, May 11th at 2 p.m. And now you can sign up your kids for the summer camp at the El Paso Archaeological Museum, which is a great place to put them this summer. And this is all out there over at 4301 Trans Mountain Road. And it's just a great place to go. I mean, they've got great lectures. It's a great exhibit. And I haven't been out since they've done all the new things out there.
Get your kids involved, your grandkids involved in those camps. They take them. They show Waco Tank stuff at the site at the museum. Then they take them out there.
Yeah, they do
show them
trips
stuff.
And all kinds of
I followed them with a camera
thing.
One time. Yeah. It's really cool. All right, talking about trivia, we got people on the phone think they know stuff. This one is named Jorge. Good morning.
I call for trivia. I called because you guys had mentioned Fire Station House Number 5 out on Alameda.
Okay.
But Fire Station House Number 5 was where my godfather was fire station chief.
All right.
Yeah, and when the fire department was down there, the historians of the fire department, I had called up to speak about him, and so had my cousin Michael. And it was just coincidentally that I had mentioned that, well, I had learned this from his wife, my aunt, my father's older sister, that he was family of Winfield Scott, when Winfield Scott was down in Mexico.
What a connection. You know, there's a lot of people connected here. Somebody, I think it was Bernie, was connecting Franklin Coons to somebody in Los Angeles or whatever. Well, you got one yourself there, Jorge.
With Mark Twain.
Mark Twain, that was. Yeah. All right, Jorge, you don't want to do trivia? You don't want $20?
No.
All right.
Jorge, you know everything.
Okay.
All that was being discussed.
Well, thank you for contributing. Thanks a lot. You take her easy.
You're welcome.
Jorge
Bye.
Was part of our live audience last week. He came down to see us at the El Paso
Community
College.
And also, you know, a guy named Carlos, and there's a line open. It just got filled, line two. But there's a guy, Carlos showed up down there.
Yeah.
It's really nice to see him.
Yeah.
Got people on the phone here we're going to talk to. This is Rudy. Hey, Rudy, good morning.
Good morning.
You want to do trivia?
Yes.
Talk to this lady. Talk to this lady.
All right, Rudy, did you want to do question one or two?
Pick an answer.
I believe it's two.
Ah, you took the easy one. Okay, the El Paso County.
Oh, the true or false?
Yeah.
Oh, you're giving it to him.
I know. I figured I'd make it easy. The El Paso County Historical Commission is involved in the protecting and recognizing of historic cemeteries. True or false?
You're serious?
Oh, don't tell me.
You're serious?
No,
we got to go to another call. Thanks for trying. Okay, who's on one? Oh, that's Troy on one. Oh, wait a minute. Troy can't win.
Okay.
He lost the true or false question.
He lost the true or false.
Oh, my. Well, then we're going to eat his food at Pepe's today. Ha, ha, ha. What do you think about that?
Where, are you still there? Well,
no, he got off because he was wrong.
Oh.
And we now know what the right answer is, don't we?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to eat that food. To heck with it. We tried. We tried to give it away. It just did not work.
I was like, no.
I couldn't believe it. We're sitting here looking at it. Like, he didn't get that right? Oh, I'm sorry.
I try to make it easy for you kids out there.
Well, anyway, let's move on here.
See?
But people overthink it.
I know. I've done that.
It was a trick question. It tricked him right out of here.
I used to do that, the trick questions. I knew the answer, and then I would put something else.
That's what just happened. All right, we're going to take a break here and come back and do more his story. You ready for that?
That's right.
We got to come back and do El Paso Inc., as a matter of fact. Ooh. Call us up if you think you need to, or Facebook is
Facebook,
or
and I'm getting ready to put their pictures up and at the El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-226-1818. That's 800-226-1818. 800-226-1818. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Even in my own home, I had my own designated space to smoke. If I think about it, it really was like I was punishing myself. A friend of mine said, why wouldn't you just try the Juul? And so I went out and I bought one. The idea of going back to smoking, I couldn't even imagine doing that. I don't think anyone, including myself, thought that I could switch.
Carolyn made the switch October 2016. Make the switch at JUUL.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to youtube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
Are you ready? This week only in El Paso, Inc.
Despite opposition, plans for a federal migrant processing center on the west side continues to move forward.
Also in the Inc., a new study raises concerns about the condition of one of El Paso's historic treasures, El Paso High School.
Easter events in El Paso, candy alternatives, and an interview with the Easter Bunny himself.
Oh, maybe it's a herself. You don't know.
Oh, herself. Oh, well.
Hey, whatever. El Paso Inc. is El Paso's only weekly business and lifestyle journal.
To read the El Paso Inc. and to order your subscription, go online to elpasoinc.com.
Sunday on ABC 7 Extra, there's a new radar in town. Doppler Dave Spielman host the show about the replacement of new radar weather antenna at the National Weather Service and how that may affect radar coverage in El Paso.
Join Doppler Dave for ABC 7 Extra Sunday night at 10:35 p.m. right after the news.
We're going to talk to Troy Ainsworth here, along with the guys in the studio who are still here, Barbara Welch, Ron Lyman. And Troy, I'm going to ask these guys here first, what about heritage tourism and preservation?
Well, heritage tourism.
What a concept.
Okay.
Yeah, what a concept. Go ahead.
Yeah, heritage tourism is one of the best ways for communities to, you know, bring people in to see the community and enjoy it, and not just for an evening performance at an event center, but they come for several days and stay and spend money, and it's a great avenue. Now, I think the one thing that I think about with heritage tourism is there's two parts of it. There's the folks that come in and stay at hotels, and then there's that whole other giant group that come in and visit family members, and they're here in town, and they want to find out things to do in El Paso. So I think when we talk about heritage tourism, it's not just the people that stay in the hotels. It's the visitors that come and visit families, and they want to do things and learn more about El Paso.
Well, it's extraneous also from conventions. It's, you know, the offshoots of that, business visitors, things like that, that people don't even realize that come off of that also. Because when I used to go out on business, I used to stop at a lot of historic sites and places like that when I was visiting on business when I had extra time.
And I did the same. And you think about it when you go to Europe, say, what are you going for? Are you going to, you know, just go see modern buildings? Are you going to see the new Jack in the Box? No, you're going to go see cathedrals. You're going to see, you know, historic buildings. You're going to see museums. The whole experience, the important part of an experience of travel is what we're now calling heritage tourism.
Exactly.
And that's been going on, actually. I mean, if you think about it, when, you know, British boarding school boys were sent to Europe to get the, you know, the education,
the culture,
that is heritage tourism.
How about you, Troy?
You know what, and sorry to cut you off there a moment ago, Ron. Completely, this is, if you look at the emphasis being placed in state-level departments around the country. In the Department of Economic Development, for example, it is very common to see a branch for heritage tourism. You have it there locally with the County of El Paso. You have it on the state level where it is a priority of the Texas Historical Commission, and you have it on a national level because the National Trust is promoting heritage tourism. I mean, this is a key pillar to the entire overarching umbrella of historic preservation. And Barbara's right. People don't travel to see the remodeled fast food burger place. They go somewhere to see things that they can't see back home or can't do at home because, you know, they live in Philadelphia, and, you know, they want to experience something in El Paso, in Las Cruces, in Tucson, in Albuquerque, whatever it is, in the Southwest. They're coming for historic places, historic buildings, and heritage tourism is rapidly becoming one of the key economic engines for many states across the country. So that's it. There's economic value, and it's demonstrable. And can't ignore it.
And we had a lot to happen here. Talk about places, not just buildings, but also places.
Right.
There are historic places in El Paso that things happened. You know, you got the gunfights of the Old West that occurred downtown at the certain intersections. You can stand there and almost hear the gunfire. But, I mean, things like that.
Mexican,
it's not a
revolution,
building.
Yeah.
Then the revolution happened here and there in various places. And so we got more cool places, don't you think?
Certainly I think so. And here a couple of years ago when the Texas Historical Commission published it's a guide for heritage travelers. And there may be copies perhaps over at the McGoffin home that listeners could pick up. It's entitled Hispanic Texans, Journey from Empire to Democracy. And it's a nice, it's pretty hefty pamphlet size publication, that includes a very nice little bit of information about Los Caminos Reales in Texas. So although they prioritize the east-west road, fortunately, references made for the far west part of Texas about the importance of the Camino Real linking Mexico City to the northern frontier in New Mexico.
But don't you think sometimes those other Texans would like to forget that road?
Well, I
think they would. We got the Caminos Reales. No, you don't. We did.
Right.
We had the first one.
But they stand up louder than we do.
They got better PR.
Better PR and greater distance, more miles across present-day Texas. But they are younger. That trail is younger than the north-south road.
Of course.
You know, the important thing that West Texas and southern New Mexico and northern Mexico can do is to promote the longstanding historical significance of that travel corridor. I mean, that's really what makes El Paso, Texas, a very important place, is that it's at the crossroads of a north-south travel corridor, the Camino Real, and then it is also on the crossroads of an east-west corridor, the Butterfield Mail Route. And in May, the Camino Real Trail Association is organizing an event that will take place. We'll have something in Las Cruces and something in El Paso. So when I have all the details finalized, I'd be happy to share those with you so that you can promote, if that'd be okay.
I want to do a Carreta race. You know, get a bunch of oxen and load up the Carretas and see who can get from El Paso to Las Cruces first and give them 3 days. I don't care.
Yeah, I was just going to say, book hotel rooms. Yeah.
But can you imagine if you could actually do that? What a hoot that would be. But no, when you get something cooked up, let us know. I mean, if it's not Carreta races, okay, make it something.
Yeah, it may not be that creaky and stinky, but man, we'll do what we can, okay?
Creaky and stinky.
I like that.
There was a dimension there I hadn't really thought about, and now I can't get
now
that out
can't
of
get
my
out of your nose.
Can't wash that out of my hair now.
Well, yeah. You know, they had two oxen in front and two oxen in the back for spares, and they did swap them out. Yeah. And every once in a while, you're in the middle of a bunch of oxen, boy, howdy.
And I think you could add a herd of goats.
I know, but a herd of goats and cows and whatever else, chickens. Oh.
Reenacto Nate.
That's what I mean. If you could actually pull that off, your hard part is, once you found a Carreta or two, your hard part is to find an ox. Where are you going to find an ox? I mean, you know, they don't.
I'm fresh out, so I don't know.
But the oxen, as they used them back in the Spanish days, they tied their heads together. They tied their horns together on a crossbar, and the crossbar was then tied to the cart. And they can't do unless you raise them that way. They won't cooperate now. Because I talked to people up in Minnesota, they have oxen. So I checked it out, thinking, well, if I had too much money, I'll go get me some oxen. Well, that's a lot of problem right there. I got news for you. But the oxen race, can we power them with something else? Maybe 30 guys in a keg of beer. And they'll eat.
that Coretta's not going very far.
But you don't care. Anyway, well, Troy, there's a lot of history around here. We could actually pull off something like that. But you know the stories about the Camino Real and then when the original caravans were stretched out. Because they ran those caravans for decades and decades and centuries. And the caravans would go up from Mexico City up to northern New Mexico and hang out. But they would then come to little towns, and the performers would come out of their caravans and put on their costumes and go do plays in the cities, towns. Isn't that what I've heard about this?
That is a part of it, yes. And I mean,
we could do that part. We could do that part.
That could be something that for the dramatic value, you bet.
All right, let's do that. But in the meantime, what else is going on a national basis for preservation? There are people, I guess, they're doing tours of their famous buildings and places. Ron, what do you know about?
Well, I was going to say something else, two things. One is that another avenue to get involved, Senator Rodriguez has a Heritage Tourism Committee, and they meet quarterly. And basically it brings a lot of folks together that have different concerns about concepts for heritage tourism. And then these go to the senator that hopefully at some point can be enacted for legislation. That's one group. Another thing that I thought about is going on right now down the state, Joe Moody's leading the charge to help us get Weiler Tramway funded.
I think that's happening.
State Park.
I think that's happening. There's one body of the state legislature passed it. Troy, do you know any more about that one?
No, I have not.
Okay.
I don't know the current status. I'm sorry.
Okay,
somebody said they got something in towards the end of the legislative that got slid in, but it's hard to tell because now we go 2 years before they do any more legislative
funding.
Well,
I don't think it's over yet, but it got out of one. We'll find out.
It did get out of one.
It did get out of one body of the committee.
So we'll see. It's not dead.
No.
It's just
in the budget discussion, though.
Right.
It's alive there.
Okay, so that's what's happening. All right, that's an interesting thing to preserve. My goodness. And how did that sneak up on those people like that? I'm a little amazed that nobody knew that was coming, but that's just another question.
Well, maybe it's nobody listened.
Ah.
There's the next question.
There's a could
nobody
be thing.
Listens.
But, okay, Troy, what else you got for us in the way of preservation things? I mean, other cities and other states, do they do what we do? Like in New Mexico even, you might be familiar with that, but like who else does preservation in a big way?
One of the I'd like to talk about two different cities real quickly, and this ties back into what you were discussing in the first hour about not just buildings but places and local flavor, customs, food, music. And one of the things that's very interesting, and I encourage if any of the audience, if any of y'all are traveling during the month of May, if you're going to go anywhere in the country, check with that respective state with their economic development, their historic preservation programs. Look on the National Trust, their webpage for a calendar of events for history-based events and programs wherever you may be traveling. But two cities in particular do such a great job with Preservation Month, and that is New Orleans, Louisiana, and San Francisco, California.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they prioritizing? Food, music, culture, and customs. The buildings are there. The places are there. You know, people gravitate towards the quarter in New Orleans. There's no question. But they don't just go there because of the architecture. There is a spirit, a sense of place that is so European and it's so different from any other place in North America.
That's
perhaps
for sure.
Except from someone like Montreal. Montreal may be the closest equivalent, and that's not even a close comparison.
Yeah.
Well, South by Southwest in Austin does something similar, doesn't it?
No, that's totally something.
I got
else.
Voted down on that one.
Yeah, really quick. Yeah,
they're just nuts.
Political drinking and bars.
Yeah,
so it's not necessarily heritage.
Music.
They're just crazy.
It's
okay,
just party.
I get it. So what does San Francisco do?
It was interesting you mentioned about Chinese in El Paso, and you know, telling how that is an undertold story that really needs to be developed because of the great number of Chinese who entered El Paso. Because of the railroads and then latter because of the revolution. But San Francisco's – go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, I see. Which revolution? You mean the Mexican Revolution where they got kicked out?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you meant the Chinese Revolution. I couldn't place that. Okay.
Oh, no. The events in northern Mexico.
Right.
But really great things that are going on in San Francisco happen to do with Chinese culture. And in 1983 – so 10 years into Preservation Month, in 1983, the National Geographic Society published a hardback book that is, it's a little bit more page count than a typical issue. Great photography, and it is entitled Preserving America's Past. This was published in 1983. It doesn't help your radio listeners because they can't see it. I'm holding it right now.
Oh, it looks great.
Flip the pages.
It doesn't help anyone.
Looks great on the radio.
Yeah, that's right. But this is a nationwide publication. Great photographs from Hawaii, Alaska, California, all the way across the country to New England. It is incredible, and it is talking about not just the value of preserving buildings, but the value of preserving Lifeway, culture, language, food, and how all of this, all these different nooks, crannies, and corners of the country are so important to visit, to learn, to see, because, our nation has a lot of people, a lot of different backgrounds. We eat different foods. We do all sorts of things. Our buildings really tell our stories, but it's not just limited to our building.
It's a whole bunch of stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break here and come back after the break and then sum up maybe what we all kind of see as possibilities for El Paso, how we could change here and preserve things better here, perhaps. What do you think? Let's look
there
at that.
Go.
And call us if you really need to. Otherwise, look at Facebook.
Call it.
We've had
almost there. 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to forhims.com/play. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/play. That's forhims.com/play for your first month for just $5. forhims.com/play.
Hey, hon, TV antenna's broken. We can't get our channel.
The antenna is fine. Give me the remote.
What? No.
I need the remote to fix it. We need to rescan for local channels.
Oh, you know everything, huh?
Well, yes, I do. But you were right here with me when they aired the announcement about changes in the broadcast frequency.
Really?
Yeah. Here, it's easy to rescan. You do it.
Okay.
Instructions are at fcc.gov/TV rescan or call 1-888-CALL-FCC.
Discover alerts you if they find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. It's just another way they look after you, not just your account. It's free for card members. Just sign up online at discover.com/free alerts. Limitations apply.
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Ressler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
I was standing by, and here we go. The El Paso Museum of History presents the EPCC 50th Anniversary Exhibit. They're going to open that up on April the 19th. That's the same EPCC we were at last week.
Yes.
They're still exhibiting and partying and all that. But they're going to have a commemorative exhibition celebrating the 50th anniversary. Also, the El Paso Museum of History is becoming the Becoming American series. They've got that going on here. The Becoming American, a documentary film discussion, and it's a series on our immigration experiences. The series will hold discussions on from scholars, both from UTEP and EPCC. The sessions are 6 to 8 p.m. It looks like they're going to be on Thursdays, but they've got one coming up on April 17th, Immigration and Work, April 25th, Family and Community, May 2nd, Immigrant Pop Culture. And also Earth Day, April 20th, 10 to 4. They're going to make a big deal out of that. Down there at the Museum of History. All right, shall we go to wherever we're going to go here?
Yes, we shall.
We
go.
Shall go over to wherever we're going to go here and talk to someone by
people.
The name of Bill. Bill is on the radio. Good morning, Bill. What happened to Bill?
Bill? Oh, Bill.
Did you give me Bill?
Bill.
What happened to Bill? Can Bill on
he
hold?
He fell off of the cliff.
Bill, okay, Bill, you there?
It's those crumbly rocks.
Bill is not there. Bill is there. I'm sorry, Bill. We're having button issues.
Well, sir, what was his question? He was.
I don't know. What did he? Shelley, help me here. Well, anyway.
He was the one that asked the question if one side of Ranger Mountain was higher than the other.
I'm not sure. We need this call on the air, and we're not getting it. What's with the buttons? Ask him what his question is. We'll put it on the air. Go around the room here. Go with Troy real quick. Troy, what are your thoughts on what El Paso could do differently to preserve and promote what we have?
Of course, there's a lot of good stuff going on with regard to public outreach, and that's going to be, of course, moving forward. The more you talk, the more that you promote, the more that you engage in public outreach and speak about the positive assets and attributes of the borderland region, I think that you're really helping yourself on all levels of heritage tourism and historic preservation.
All right, let's see what Ron Lyman thinks about what could be done differently or better in El Paso.
Well, I think the story goes over generations and over centuries, actually. We talk about the river and the trail, that theme.
That's a biggie.
The trail, the trail started with Native Americans traveling north and south and east and west.
Following the river in the game.
Right.
Basically.
And then we get Onate and we get the Camino Real. But on top of that, we get the stagecoach lines going east and west. And then on top of that, we get the railroad. And then on top of that, we get things like the Bankhead Highway.
Thank you.
And these things, so we've got all these layers and time, and we've got so many facets to our story.
And the internet goes through here in this part of the country.
Yeah.
It does, right down on Donovan Drive.
Right.
Yeah.
Barbara, your thoughts?
Same highway.
Well, I just want to say that.
What happened to Barbara here over here?
Sergio.
Let's get Barbara online.
Go ahead.
El Paso.
Can you put that mic over for her? This was
yeah, sometimes the mics get a little touchy.
Yeah, they do.
Like the headsets.
Yeah. Go ahead.
There you are.
You know, Troy was talking about San Francisco and New Orleans doing an excellent job for Preservation Month because of their unique European identities.
That's true.
And I've got to say, El Paso has a unique European. I mean, we have a unique identity that is every bit as important as either of those cities. I mean, we have. The Spanish influence is incredible. And I grew up in Europe, and I stayed in El Paso because I see that influence. And, I mean, honest to God, I'd rather a sopapilla than a beignet any day of the week.
Listen to you. Let's try Bill again. Bill, I'm sorry. We didn't. Go ahead. Bill?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. Go ahead.
It's Bill.
We got
yeah,
you.
I just had a question. I was wondering if about Ranger Peak, if it was a lot more graduated climb from the west side.
Let me answer that for you. We're about out of time. From the west side, it's a little bit more graduated. They've got the 1,000-foot trail, and that's the 1,000-step trail, I'm sorry. That goes up kind of gradually. On the east side, you're almost going straight up Ranger Peak, so don't try that. And is this Troy? We got you back?
Yeah, I'm here.
I was about to say goodbye. Thank you for calling back, and thank you for joining us today on the show. Appreciate it.
Hi. Thank you both for having me. Ron, Barbara, good to be with you today as well.
Cool.
Everybody have a great weekend.
Thanks a lot.
Enjoy barbecue time.
We'll see you again. And Bill, thank you for calling back. It's that kind of day. Melissa, you coming back next weekend?
I'm coming back next week.
All right, Phil, let's do this. And we'll have some more radio history about El Paso. Sergio, thank you in the control room. And we also thank Shelley in there.
Shelley
for doing
Sergio.
Her thing. Thank you guys very much. Sergio
Valenzuela.
Next week, see ya. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage, ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776.
Crawford Buick GMC's got the very best inventory of used cars and trucks in the whole Southwest. Now we've got the biggest and the best truck month sale right now.
Save huge and always the top financing options and bank rates.
Let's go.